Wow, this morning's readings really pack a punch, don't they? Ezekiel in his valley of dry bones, Lazarus in his tomb dead and then not. I must admit my sleep while considering this sermon over the last few weeks has been visited by dancing skeletons and vast armies of the undead, ghouls and mummies aided not a little by the popular depiction of such things. There is a lot of death here. And we are still 2 weeks away from Holy Week, a journey filled with passion and despair and betrayal and derision and mounting tension overflowing into violence and to death. And here we sit in the fifth Sunday of this season of Lent. We move from the valley of last week to the valley of this week, the valley of dry bones, this vision of Ezekiel, one of the minor prophets, one of those who lived through the destruction of the temple and the exile of the Jewish people to Babylon. Ezekiel is brought by the hand of God and the Spirit of God to a valley full of dry human bones. After the prophet walks all around these bones, God asks, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Now one can only imagine the incredulous expression of Ezekiel when he answers, "God, only you know." There is nothing more lifeless than a pair of very dry bones. Have you ever seen such a thing? On my parents' farm, there were piles of dry bones. Mind you, they were sheep bones, but the imagery is the same. What once was knit together with sinew and covered with flesh and with skin, and what once moved and breathed, did not now. We see with Ezekiel simply bones. And it is seemingly impossible to imagine that these bones can yet live. Now, the one thing that unites all human beings, regardless of age, gender, religion, economic status, or ethnic background, is that deep down inside, we all believe that we are above average drivers. Let me try that again. The one thing that unites all human beings, regardless of age, gender, religion, economic status, or ethnic background, is that deep down inside, we all know that we will die, and our bones will be of that pile as sure as those in Ezekiel's vision. And that is hard to bear. And so we begin in this fifth Sunday of Lent in a valley of dry bones with a prophet who prophesied some 2,500 years ago. So what can this passage possibly say to us today? Well, a lot of ink has been spilled on this passage, this and the one of Lazarus, on the dry places in our own spiritual lives, on the dry places in the lives of peoples and of nations. Ye of little faith sermons that exhort and command and demand that we change, accept, or reject certain habits or doctrines or doubts or peoples. This is not one of those sermons. This is an invitation to hear some wisdom brought by others, to reflect upon some insight gleaned from, of all people, Donald Trump, and to recognize and allow yourself to experience in the form of a meditation the gift of the Spirit. This breath, this wind, this invisible force flowing through you this morning, wherever you may be. Now, Martin Luther King, it wrote in a sermon that he entitled "A Tough Mind and a Tender Heart," he speaks of these, which he calls two opposites. A tough mind and a tender heart. He said, "No man or woman is so strong unless he bears within his character antitheses strongly marked. The strong man is the man who can hold in a living blend strongly marked opposites. Very seldom do we achieve this balance of opposites. The idealists are not usually realists, and the realists are not usually idealistic. The militant are not usually passive, and the passive are not usually militant. The humble are very seldom self-assertive, and the self-assertive are rarely humble." But he goes on to say, "But life at its best is a creative synthesis. It is the bringing together of opposites into fruitful harmony. Jesus recognized the need for this blending of opposites. Jesus is saying that individual life, at its best, requires the possession of a tough mind and a tender heart. I'll say that again. Individual life, at its best, requires the possession of a tough mind and a tender heart. Now, I don't speak of Donald Trump in my sermons very often, but I just felt I had to today. He's been in the news, many would say far too much. His statements are increasingly bizarre and his antics increasingly erratic. One feels a measure of pity and of impatience with the airtime given to this man. His words and his actions would lead one to believe that he is a man with a supersized ego, and I say that ego, I say that without knowing him. He would probably characterize himself as tough-minded. He certainly seems to be self-centered and self-focused. And without knowing the man, I would venture to say, because I have met others like him and I have been like him in ways, I would venture to say that he is terribly, terribly afraid. Trying to alleviate the fear of death and the knowledge of the brevity of life, we seek to do this in many ways, the bottle, the pill, or seek attention or chase wealth for its own sake. Trying to be tough-minded without knowing how to be tender-hearted. Of taking without knowing how to receive. Of trying to control by being out of control. We see it all around us today. In the public lives of those in the news, in the private lives of those we love, and in ourselves. Can these bones live? Now, life is not easy, and that's an understatement. Life is not easy. It can be hard and sad and difficult. It is hard not to head into survival mode. It's hard not to become inflexible, hard-hearted, addicted, depressed, or simply resigned. So admit it. Admit you do not have the answers. Admit you know nothing. Like Scrooge in A Christmas Carol on Christmas morning, admit it, and then give it away. Give it all up. To God. God, only you know. Revel as Scrooge did in the incredible fact of your existence. Accept it as the gift it is and listen with gratitude to your breath. This breath that is the same word as spirit and as wind. This breath that describes the invisible creative force that moves through you and me and every living creature. And so, in this time of COVID-19, when it seems that we are fearful and we risk becoming hard-hearted, move with me now into a time of meditation, a time of recognizing what it means to be tough-minded and tender-hearted. Close your eyes and breathe normally and easily. Be aware of how you breathe in and breathe out. Be aware of how your belly rises and falls. Imagine you are in a place where you feel completely safe. You are probably in your home. A safe, sacred space. Now see in your mind's eye a person who comes into this place, this safe, sacred space. Someone you would love to meet, someone whose lives or words or both inspire you, someone whom it would be right to see in this safe, sacred space. For me, it would be Jesus. For you, it may be someone else. But it has to be someone that to you would be perfectly capable of reaching out, and you would be perfectly capable of responding. Jesus takes you in his arms and holds you and says, I love you. My love for you is kind. It is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. My love for you does not insist on its own way. My love for you is not irritable or resentful. My love for you does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. My love for you bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. There will never be a time when I do not love you. I love you without end. Sit in that love with that person. Make your body aware of such love. Begin with your feet. Imagine the love moving upward through your whole being, through your legs, moving upward through your chest, to your shoulders, your head. Now feel it in your hands, love without condition. Know that you take this love with you today and all days. In all you do, you and everyone you encounter are not alone. There is love. God is with you. Become aware again of your own breathing, in and out, rising and falling. And when you are ready, open your eyes. Take a deep breath in and out, and exhale a glorious amen. A widow at her husband's funeral had only this to say. He knew he was loved, and he was able to love in return. He knew he was loved. This is literally all I want you to take from this message this morning. Know you are loved. And what a relief, what a release, what a change maker, what a motive mover. In this time, know you are loved. And if you know this, you will love in return. I know of no better description of a tough mind and a tender heart. And what is that in this time? For most of us, it is reaching out with our hearts instead of our hands. For those on the front lines, it is doing both. It is staying home. It is washing your hands. It is maintaining physical distance. It is calling, texting, emailing your neighbor. It is aligning priorities to purpose newly seen or startlingly reinforced from this time of COVID-19. It is spending time in prayer and in contemplation and in meditation. And I offer you this prayer. Heal us from infirmity, O God. Transform us into well-being. Repair us from greed, O God. Shift us into hospitality. Mend us from exclusion, O God. Change us into affirmation. Heal us from hatred, O God. Transform us into love. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel responds, God, only you know. Tender in heart, knowing we are loved, we can respond here and now in the power and the presence and the experience of the Spirit breathed out on all of creation. Tough in mind, able to love in return, we can respond here and now to this COVID-19 crisis with trust and with a clarity of vision breathed into each one of us. God, only you know. And it is enough. In this journey toward Easter, these bones live. Amen.